I want to talk about the image of God. On the screen, you've got a squirrel, and it is leaping from post to post. There's a guy on the interweb who Ariel can probably shout out his name for me. Mark Rober, thank you. He's one of the most watched men on the internet. And he decided he would make one of these assault courses to keep the squirrels off the bird food. And when he takes you through this, there's a video about 15 minutes of it. When he takes you through this, every single one of these posts is impossible for a squirrel to sort themselves through. But after 2 days of practice, all 4 squirrels in his garden could do all of these posts in 40 seconds. So it took 40 seconds from them to start and get to the end and eat all the bird food. Now, Genesis 1:26 says something which I don't know how many times I've preached on this verse over the years. I often say to people it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, and it is, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the ground." That is what God said. And for years, well, probably for 2,000 years, preachers have said, what is this image of God? What is this image of God? And so many will say, well, it's our intelligence. It's our creativity. But you know, those squirrels can work their way how to leap from pillar to post, literally, and get through loads of obstacles in 2 days on an assault course that was designed to not allow them to do that. And every one of these 4 squirrels in this video, who all get very funny names, every one of them can do that assault course now in 40 seconds. And I would suggest to you, if the image of God in us is our intelligence or our creativity, then it's squirrels as well. And I have to say to you, we cannot put some of these simple words down and say, this is the image of God. It goes on in the passage to say, and let them rule. And if it's about us being able to rule, then there have been some horrendous world leaders in the past. And I would hesitate to say that they have demonstrated the image of God to us. If it's about reason, having reason, lots of people say, oh, we are reasoning beings. We're not like the animals. We have reason. Well, if that's true, then I would suggest to you this squirrel that is currently in midair, and I feel I ought to let it down, but it's perpetually in midair, isn't it? I just took that as a still from the video, so it's definitely real. If that's the case, then the image of God is being displayed in that squirrel. And I want to say to you on the authority of God's word that that squirrel was not made in the image of God. In fact, only humankind is made in the image of God. And we have to understand that that's men and that's women. That's children. That's babies. That's babies in the womb. We are all made in the image of God. So what is that image? If you're worried about squirrels having the image of God, what about artificial intelligence? I don't know how many times you have spoken to somebody on the phone who has rung you, and you maybe haven't realised that it was an artificial intelligence that you were speaking to. It's only when you really lose your rag with them and that they don't react that you suddenly realise, oh, I'm speaking to a computer. The reality is that artificial intelligence, computer intelligence, is rising at a rate of knots, but it has nothing to do with the image of God. All of mankind was made to bear the divine image, or to carry the divine image. It's something that makes us distinct from the rest of creation. In some way, it makes us like God. God said, "Let us make man in our image." In some way, it makes us like God. And there is absolutely nothing in the text that remotely suggests that the image of God can be partially given. Let me say something to you. Every disabled person is made in the image of God and is as much an image bearer as I am. It has nothing to do whatsoever with what we might think of perfection. It's a God thing. If we look at the Hebrew words, it starts to become a bit clearer. The image of God is an inherent feature that humankind carries. If you like, it's more about status than it is about anything else. We are created with a status of carrying God's image that no other part of creation has. And we know how precious this is, because Satan has given his entire essence to try and discolour, damage, and demean the image of God in this earth. Why has he gone all out to make sin a reality for humankind? Because in his mind, it makes the image of God polluted. Satan was not made in the image of God. The Archangel Michael was not made in the image of God. Karen Bruin was made in the image of God. Jonathan Tarbin was made in the image of God. Nalini Lazarus, and I can only say that for one more week, has been made in the image of God. We, as people, are made in the image of God uniquely to image God in our world. If you like, we are to be the carriers of the image of God. There are no idols of God. There are no carved images, cast images of God. But there is a race of people who are designed to carry the image of God and to demonstrate the image of God. You know, some people have lived such wicked lives and have even demeaned what we think of as being human. You can all think of names, you've seen documentaries, you've read books, you know there are people who their very existence undermines our belief in humanity. But the God who is love, and let me just repeat that for emphasis, the God who is love is fully seen in Jesus, but seen from time to time in all of us. The second Adam, Jesus of Nazareth, fully expressed and imaged the Godhead to us. We, his church, and to a degree, the whole world from time to time images God, even through the black clouds that often cover our heart. Imaging God is simply conveying to the rest of creation the nature and reality of God, something which can only be done well through the gospel of Jesus. I remember watching a movie, and in this movie there was this big, large Italian gentleman cuddling his little daughter and having a bit of fun with her and giving her a kiss goodnight. And then he went out and shot someone. And that's an interesting metaphor for the film director and the writers to use. They take a man who they know at the start of the movie is a killer for hire, and yet he still loves his daughter. And you know, the image of God is revealed even from time to time in people who do wicked things. My second point today has got no squirrels involved. This one has got King Canute. He's the guy who was put out on the on his throne in the beach, and he ordered the tide to not come in on him. It didn't work. The Garden of Eden wasn't the whole world. Adam and Eve found themselves in the Garden of Eden, a perfect environment, but a time came later when they were banned from it for their own good, so that they wouldn't eternally live in the corruption of sin. Their job was to rule over earth and subdue it. If you like, their job was to enforce on creation the image of God. Their job was to carry his image through Eden and eventually into the whole world. This was mankind's first calling. We ultimately are called to carry the image of God. Open cast mining, blanket bombing, the spraying of Agent Orange, huge mountains of human waste, none of these things are what we were intended for. But rescuing victims of natural disasters, providing food for the hungry, teaching children about the love of God, embracing the fatherless and the widow, these are ways in which we image God. And people can see something of the goodness of God when we do these things. When I was a younger man, there was a bit of a division in the church in the United Kingdom. There was the Pentecostals, the evangelicals, the really strong people of the word who believed it was all about preaching the word and getting conversions. And then there was the liberals. Liberal is a technical term, it means unbeliever. liberals are people who do not have a great focus on the word of God and are, shall we say, liberal in their reception of what God has to say. But there was a divide between these groups. But the liberals were doing all the social things. They were out there feeding the poor, helping the sick. They were doing a darn good job. And I don't know really when it changed. I'd like to think it was the generation I was part of that rose up and we said, hang on a minute, we need to do these things as well. And certainly By the time I was 30, it was evident to me that the Pentecostal churches, the charismatic churches, the evangelical churches, they too were doing good. And I think sometimes as a church, we have had knee-jerk reactions, just as society has. You know, at the moment, we had a terrible loss of a good MP the other day. A friend of mine is a friend of his, and he says he's a good, good man. And, you know, it's terribly sad, but we can have a knee-jerk reaction now, which is restrict the public's access to MPs. And we've got to really be careful before we have knee-jerk reactions. But in the church, we have to also be careful of our reactions to issues like the word. You know what? I will give myself for the word. If I have to lay down my life for the word of God, I will do that, because the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It changes our lives, and I thank God for the word of God. So I am not going to yield on the word to anyone, but neither am I going to say to anyone who is hungry, go find some liberal person who doesn't believe the word of God is true. Because it's my job to do those things as well, and it's our job to do those things as well. Ruling over this planet is not a command that disappeared with the fall. We have always been called to rule over this planet, subdue it, and portray the image of God to all around us. Our problem is our sin, the depravity of the fall of mankind, all of the awful things that we do as people get in the way, and so we have an ocean that's filling up with plastic rubbish, and all these other things which we shouldn't have allowed. And somewhere along the line, one generation, if not ours, is going to have to pay. We need to help. We need to do stuff. We need to make a difference. And I remember when we planted this church 19 years ago, four of us sat in my backyard and we said, what can we do? What is there that we can do? And I remember Paul saying he could do something with kids, and Paul and Pauline together did a fantastic job in those early days in Foxwood. I said, well, we've got this couple that today have gone to Zambia. And what we could do is we could support them financially. And we supported them and an orphanage that they ran for 10 years. For 10 years, we kept that ministry going and those kids alive. For lots of reasons, it ended after 10 years. I said, oh, well, the thing that I've got this connection with is children with cancer. And so we began doing things that help the families of children with cancer. And even today, I'm still on the board of Candlelight as the children's cancer charity. We couldn't find a lot that we could do because we were a small group. But we found distinct things and we did them. And right now, we have the best bereavement group in the city. And you know what? It's because we can do it, and we must do it, and we will continue to do it, because God is calling us to image himself. You know how in the old days, and I am talking about old days now, men used to carry photographs in their wallet of the family. Now we carry a phone. But You know, you can't go anywhere these days and get into conversation without someone grabbing the phone and saying, oh, look at this. Oh, this is my little kid, you know. And you look at these things and you share things that give you pleasure, people that give you pleasure. And when we do these, we are sharing the images of them. God wants us to share the image of himself, rather than just the images of people that we live with. My third point is food. I was getting very hungry at the time when I did this, so this is a very short point, but my mind was going to food. In the beginning, food was all vegetarian. But in Genesis 9, verse 3, after Noah, we're told, every living creature will be food for you. As I gave the green plants, I have given you everything. So legitimately, we can eat what we want. But it was all a vegetarian diet in the beginning. What we should do, whether you're vegetarian, whether you're carnivore, whether you're an omnivore, whether you're a pescatarian,
gluten-free.
Oh, okay, whether you're gluten-free, whatever you are, we should always remember that food is a gift from God. God gave us food in the beginning. He gave us food again after the flood. Food is something we should always be grateful for, and we shouldn't withhold it from anyone else. And that's why it's so Christian and so much of the image of God to give food. That's why hospitality is a very Christian thing. When we give hospitality to people, we are showing the image of God. I told you that was a short point. My last point today is it's a big job. That picture is not really significant. It's just a load of people, really. I just Googled a lot of people, and that's what it gave me. In this chapter, God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Eden was Eden, compact, confined, but the earth was bigger than Eden. It was not enough to stay as a couple alone when Adam and Eve left Eden. They had to become a tribe, and then tribes. The earth is big. So these days, what have we got? 7 billion people on this planet. 2.3 billion of them follow Jesus. Thank God. But our earth is not actually full. Now, I don't want to stick my neck out too far on this, but some people that have done some very serious academic work have said that this earth can sustain 16 billion people. Now, I don't know how true that is, but it can definitely sustain more than we have. The reason it doesn't sustain so many people now is greed and sin, because so many people want more, you know. I'm not trying to be anti-American here, but America is the nation of waste. We're bad, but we pale into insignificance compared to the amount of waste food. 43% of all food bought in American households goes in the bin. And you have to ask yourself, how can that be when in parts of Africa and Asia, there are children who do not expect to be fed today? As Christians, we are called to do a very big job, which is to carry the image of God to everyone. Now, what Jayam said earlier was very significant. A person who was not a Christian could see the value in forgiveness. And we need to understand also that not everybody who is doing the job of imaging God is a follower. But we all need to do our bit. And as Christians, we have something wonderful. We have a personal relationship with Jesus. We have the Spirit of God hovering over us, living in us. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we carry the very essence of God everywhere. And we need to do these things because we need to image God, because that was why we were made. That's what singles us out from the rest of creation. We need to image God. And God wants to reach out to everyone and embrace them. And we need to be the people who do that because we're the ones with the arms. I know that in the third world, population growth is a serious issue. But in Western Europe, our populations continue to fall, except for immigration. In the UK, we are down to 1.57 births per woman. 1.57 births. If you imagine that people generally pair up, that means for every two people, we are replacing them with 1.5 people. That means that very quickly we are going to get into the position where we can't afford pensions, we can't afford to support the elderly, because we are not raising up the next generation. And of course, Germany has been very, very wise at opening its borders to lots of immigration, because they were below us, and they were below 1.5. And they are bringing in a next generation of people from different lands to keep their economy going. And I'm not trying to say to you, we should try and keep the economy like it is. What I am saying is that children are a blessing from the Lord. And Psalm 127, if you're looking for that. When we had had Melody, we'd got Libby and Melody. Oh, and incidentally, Jonathan, when Libby was born, there were only two ways I could get her to go to sleep. One was singing, "Shine, Jesus, shine," to her. So I was really worried today that she was going to drop asleep. Because that used to work. The other way was to turn on the Hoover. And she'd just go out like that. So that's just a bit of information for you. It's totally irrelevant, but sort of a bit funny. But when we'd had Melody, we were at a Christian event where the speaker was a spirit-filled Catholic. And he said to me, he said, "Oh, are these yours?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh," he said, "you're either a good Catholic or a bad Protestant." Now, some of you will know the meaning behind that. But the truth is, today, this 1.5 live births per woman in the UK is a bit higher if you're Catholic. It's a bit lower if you're Protestant. And the truth is, it's a bit higher if you're Muslim. But we need to understand that either children are a blessing or they're not a blessing. And our society has educated us to believe that children are a curse. All you have to do is turn on your TV and you will hear it all. Children will mess up my life. Children stop me. They take my money away from me. It costs me, I don't know how many hundred thousand they reckon now to raise a kid to adulthood. You know, everything, it's all about money. No, it's about blessing. And we went on through the process of, if you have one child, people think that's good. If you have two children, people look at you. If you have three children, they look away from you. If you have four children, they are convinced you are insane. And so many of us are programmed by that. And we need to understand the child is not an accessory to our lifestyle. A child is a blessing from God, and our role should always be to raise up children and to teach them about God and to image God to them. And I would say to you today that maybe we ought to just have a little think about that and have a little think about what message are we conveying about children. You know what? Not everybody needs to get married. Not everybody has to pair up. But if you do, maybe having children can be a thing. But not everyone can. And we also need to understand that. You know, this whole business of when I started courting Pauline, they said to me, when are you going to get engaged? When we got engaged, they said, when are you going to get married? The minute we got married, they said, when are you going to have children? And the only reason they stopped saying anything about children was we waited 5 years. But then they said, when are you going to have another? And people drive us, and social media drives us so much faster than people used to do by talking to us face to face. We need to realise that we are called to image God. You can image God as a single person and you can do it really well. You can image God as a married couple without children and you can do it really well. But if you have the ability and the capability to raise children, don't be put off by this 1.5 thing. Carry on until you can't have any more. You know, children are a blessing from the Lord. And one way we build the kingdom of God is by having godly children. There you go. I will probably get stoned to death after this for even discussing that. But I believe it's something that's here in Genesis. And we need to recognize it. It is a reality. Adam and Eve couldn't change the world by themselves. They needed to have children. They needed to have generations of children. They needed the population to rise. The honest truth is, it's only in the 20th century that we have really started to subdue this planet. And you think how many centuries have passed. That's because only recently did the population get to a level where we could be everywhere. Wherever we are in life, let's not get caught up with this capitalistic society in which we live, but instead let's get caught up with the ideas of the kingdom of God. Let's get caught up with the idea of leaving his image everywhere. Can I suggest to you, in a morning, you should pray, God, let me be an imager of you today. And wherever you go, just think, have I left an image of God? I remember once, my son had just died. I was going back to work after 4 weeks. I needed some new white shirts. I went into a shop to buy these white shirts. I took them home, washed them first. The following day, they had shrunk 2 sizes. I took them straight back into the shop and I tore through that manager like a dose of salts. I gave him a piece of my mind. The trouble was, afterwards, I didn't have as much of a mind as I had because I'd given it to him. And I went home. In fact, I came to church, and as I was stood outside church, I thought, I can't face God like this. I need to go back and ask that man's forgiveness. And I drove up to Monk's Cross. And I walked in and I said to him, do you remember me? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, listen, I was really wrong yesterday. I was totally wrong in what I said. And I want to apologise. Listen, I don't care if you never replace these shirts. But you didn't deserve that. And I'm sorry. And I walked out. You know, that day, I felt good about myself because I had imaged God by being humble. I hadn't imaged God by giving this guy a piece of my mind for selling me duff shirts. Following day, he was on the phone to me, I've got you 2 fantastic shirts, Mr. Redman. They're better than the ones you had. They're ideal for you. They never shrank.
Amen.
But you know, our imaging of God has got to be appropriate. It's got to demonstrate the goodness of God. And you might do it very quietly. You might do it very simply. But let me tell you, we can all do it. Ultimately, we do it by discipling others to walk with Jesus and by being examples of the love of God ourselves. Will you pray with me? Yes. Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being the change in our lives that we needed. Thank you for saving us from sin. Thank you for delivering us from the works of the evil one. Thank you for breathing your life and your spirit into us. Father, we just pray right now that you will help us to adequately carry the image of God this week. Help us to carry the image of Christ wherever we go. Help us to demonstrate your love. Help us to reach those in a point of dire need. And help us always, Lord, to communicate your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.